shiur for Chanukah. We still have a few days left of Chanukah, and we would like to address both halacha, but beikar hashkafa, and see if we could find a bridge between halacha and hashkafa. We're going to take a look at the Gemara in Shabbos, Amir Tzashem, about Ner Chanukah, and where the candle should be placed, and the difference between the first period of time before the Shas HaKon and the second period of time. We're going to talk a little bit about the minug of not doing melacha while the Ner is lit. We're going to speak about the obligation of women in Ner Chanukah, which is explicit in the Gemara. We'll talk about some of the Midrashim and some of the insights of the Shaloh HaKadosh, and hopefully we go back to the Ramban in his Pirush Al Torah, and hopefully we'll be able to wrap this all up and bring it together. I want to begin our discussion, because yesterday was Shabbos Chanukah, with a Zemer, which was actually authored by none other than the Ibn Ezra, and you'll find his name in an acrostic in Rosh Tevis of this Zemer. And although most of us don't sing this Zemer on Shabbos Chanukah, some do. And there's one particular line that should catch our attention, that should catch our eye, I should say. And I think it might be an interesting way of entering into a discussion about Chanukah. Well, we'll see how it goes. The Ibn Ezra writes the following in his beautiful liturgical poem. He says, Ichlu mashmanim v'soles rechuva, Torim uvneyonim Shabbos v'Chanukah. He combines Shabbos v'Chanukah within the context of eating mashmanim, and these tasty foods are solis revucha, made of the finest flour. And then he speaks about turtle doves, about yonim doves. And it's all a little bit obscure. And we'll see if we can shed a light, especially on his reference here to Yonim on Shabbos Chanukah. The second thing that I wanted to discuss with you is a discussion about the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Let's open up to the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis, which is the beginning of the sugya of Ner Chanukah. Ner Chanukah mitzvah lahanicha al Pesach beso mibachutz. The mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is to place the Ner at the threshold of his house on the outside, obviously expanding Pirsum HaNes. Im hayadar ba'aliyah, if he lived on a higher floor, in which case he has no Pesach beso mibachutz, he can go down the steps, but he doesn't have an opening into his house from the Rishus HaRabim, meinicha b'chalon hasmucha l'Rishus HaRabim. He should try to find a window that turns towards the public area. And all this reflects on the original mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. What do I mean? U'b'shas ha'sakana, you'll see the next line in the Gemara, meinicha al shulchano v'dayo. It became dangerous to place the Ner Chanukah in the outside, in a way that's obvious to the goyim. That was dangerous, that would incur the wrath of the goyim. And now the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah takes on a different form, and instead of placing the Ner Chanukah b'pesach b'pesach b'chutz, meinicha al shulchano. He places it inside, even on his table. And the Chiddush here is even on his table, which might look to the onlooker, to the spectator, as if he was illuminating his dining room table. But nevertheless, it's dayo, it's sufficient. That's the Chiddush of this Takana of Shas HaKadosh Beilech. As I mentioned earlier, we would like to see if there is some sort of special role that Nashim play with regard to this mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And I found two different sources reflecting themselves in two different halachas, with regard to the relationship between women and Ner Chanukah. We'll see this also with regard to the relationship between women and Megillah reading on Purim. If you open up to Or HaChaim, Siman Tov Reish Ayin, with regard to Ner Chanukah, the Shulchan Aruch codifies a minog, Noagos Hanoshim Shalolasos Melocha Biod Shaneros Dolkos. The Yesh Misha Omer She'ein LaHakel Lahem. The women have this minog of abstaining from Melocha. I don't know, I don't think it means Melocha in the technical sense, like it does on Shabbos, the 39 Melochas. But rather, what it refers to is the fact that the Neros Adolkos, and we want to focus our attention on the Ner Dolk, and not to be distracted. So again, it's not Isur Melocha in the technical sense, you know, where on Shabbos you can't turn on a light. I don't think that this minhag would reflect an Isur Melocha in that sense. You can't turn on a light, or you can't, you know, bake, you know, or fry latkes. I think what we're talking about is to be distracted from the Ner. The Ner is Dolkos. And the Shulchan Aruch adds an appendant to that. He says we shouldn't be makel for them. This is a serious minhag. The Mishnah Berurah, by the way, goes even a step further. He says that, number one, we have to ask ourselves the question why this minhag evolved with regard to the women. What are the women folk? And then he says, Yesh makom shegam ha-noshim achmirim bazeh, that the men follow suit and they also should focus their attention on the Ner. As far as why the women have a special relationship to this minhag, and apparently in its initial, you know, in inception, the minhag was women, l'fisha nasa nes al yadehem, because the miracle of Chanukah came through the women. The women played a very special role, Yehudis and so forth and so on. And this sort of reflects the shita of the Rashbam, because now we'll look at a different dimension of the relationship between women and a mitzvah like Chanukah, or for that matter, a mitzvah like Megillah, which are mitzvahs derabbanan, but they're mitzvah shazman groma, they're time-bound mitzvahs. And the Gemara on Daf Dalid in Megillah says, "Om Rav Yishuv ben Levi Noshim Chayovus b'mikra Megillah she'af hein hoyu bosan nes." And you and I might think "af hein hoyu bosan nes" means that they were secondary, but they were also somehow, we say in Yiddish, nachshlepes as far as the miracle is concerned. But you look at Tosfos in the name of the Rashbam, he says "Ikar anes hoya al yodon." They, the women folk, brought about the miracle. B'Purim al yidei Esther u'b'Chanukah al yidei Yehudis. And he applies this logic not only to Purim and to Chanukah. The Rashbam extends this principle to the Dalid Kosos of Leil HaPesach, where the Gemara itself says in Ari Psochim that Noshim Chayovas B'Dalid Kosos Afein Hoyu Bosad Nes is B'Schus Noshim Tzidkonius Shibosad Dor Nigalu, that the saintly righteous women of that door of Yetzias Mitzrayim, they are the ones who actually generated, they brought about in their merit the miracle and the redemption took place. So obviously the women are playing a pivotal role here, and that applies according to the Rashbam in all these three cases of Afhein Hayu Bosan Nes. The interpretation is Al Yodan, that the miracle came about through them, whether we're talking about, in the case of Purim, Esther and her unique role, whether we're talking about, in the case of Yetzias Mitzrayim of Pesach, the role of the Noshim Tzidkonios, they had the faith in, and they had the belief in the redemption, and that Tzidkonios expressed itself in many different areas, many different ways. Or, if we want to talk about the Nes of Chanukah, it's brought about through Yehudis, says the Rashbam. So it's one thing to say that women now are obligated to mitzvah saseh shazman groma in these cases of Dalit Kosos, Mikra Megillah, and Ner Chanukah, but we're going a step further and we're saying that they are the initiators of a new minog with regard to Ner Chanukah, that ein osos melocha biod shaneros dolkos. And even if the men in fact picked up this minog, but the initiation, the inception of the minog is in the court of the lady folk, they are holding on to it. they really grab on to this minhag. They play such a major role and have such a profound connection to Ner Chanukah. Having said that, on a halachic level, what I'd like to do now is turn to some midrashim, and we want to analyze these midrashim in the light of the history of Klal Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash, Yavan, and the unique role of Knesset Yisrael. We'll come back to a halachic discussion, because I'm sort of jumping back and forth from halacha to medrash, when we integrate a tour or a chayim and his discussion of the chasima, the closing of the first bracha of Kriyat Shema Lefaneha in Ma'ariv, and what the exact nusach of that chasima is. But hold on for that for just a minute. The medrash in Megillas Esther, in its actual hakdama to the medrash of Megillas Esther, in a very unusual way, quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim in Perek Hey, and takes apart this pasuk piece by piece. The pasuk says, Pischi li achosi rayosi yonosi samosi. In which case, the Dod, representing Klal Yisrael, is asking the Raya, its beloved, to open up. Open up for me, my Raya, my Yona, Samosi. Says the Medrash, Achosi zu bovel. The word Achosi is an allusion, a symbol of bovel. Rayosi zu modai. And that is a symbol of Golus Modai. And then Yonasi is Yavan. Tamasi is Edom. So we have here the four Golios of Bavel, Modai, Yavan, and Edom. The Medrash continues and apparently wants to explain and clarify why it is that Yavan is alluded to by this word Yonasi. What is the connection between Yonasi and Chanukah? And the Medrash says the following: Shekol Yimei Yavan Haya Beis HaMikdash Kayam. What's unique about the Golos of Yavan, and this doesn't apply to the other Golios, is that the Beis HaMikdash stands. The Golos of Yavan overlaps with the period of Beis HaMikdash, of Bayis Sheni. And that is that doesn't really answer the question as to why Yonasi is a reference to Golus Yavan. But the Medrash adds the following: V'hoyu Yisrael, during that period of time of Yavan, makrivim bo, they brought karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash, torim ubnei Yona al gabi mizbeach. And it's fascinating to me that the Medrash is pointing out to one particular dimension of the Avodas HaKorbonos, namely the Torim Ubnei Yona. And if you recall, Ibn Ezra emphasizes Torim Ubnei Yona in his Zemer for Shabbos Chanukah, and the very word Yona, which indicates that Korban, is a reference to Yavan, to the period of Golus Yavan, Yonasi. So, in a certain odd kind of way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Yonasi, you are my Yona, because you are bringing the carbon of the Bnei Yona. And that word Yona, which describes the beauty of Klal Yisrael in their avoda during the Beis HaMikdash, can only be a reference to one particular golus, that golus which overlaps with the grandiose fulfillment of Avoda and Migdash of Klal Yisrael, namely the period of Yavan. Rabbi Pinchas Rabbi Levi, in the next part of the Medrash, quotes a different pasuk, and it's a pasuk in Tehillim. This pasuk also refers to the various Golios by allusion, and the pasuk says, "Batzarli, Batzarli Ekra Hashem, Velokai Eshavea." The Yishma Meheichalo Koli. The pasuk in Tehillim can be divided up into various parts. The first of which is Bitzarli, when I'm in a situation of tzaros, Ekra, Hashem, I call out to you, God, and that's a reference to Bavel, the first of the Golios. And then the pasuk continues, Ve'elokai Eshavea, I will cry out to God, that's a reference to the second Golios of Madai. And Yishma Meheichalo Koli, God will hear my voice, my supplications from his, capital H, his Heichal, is Yavan. That's a reference to the third Golos, namely Golos Yavan. And then the Medrash quotes Rav Huna, and he says, Yonasi b'malchus Yavan, shekol yimei Yavan, hoya ha-Heichal kayam, that during the period of Yavan, of Golos Yavan, the Heichal in the Beis HaMikdash was very much alive. For Yisrael makrivim torim ubnei yonah al gabi mizbeach. And therefore, since there was mizbeach, the Heichal is the, in a sense, the point in it which, if you could call it in the physical universe, the location in which Klal Yisrael reached their most beautiful state of grandiose glory, in which they can cry out and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to my prayers, please, because I am bringing the Karbanos. The Heichal Shalmata here in the Beis HaMikdash is Mechuvan, is corresponds to the Heichal Shalmala. So when the Pasuk in Tehillim says, Yishma Meheichal, that's clearly a reference to Yavan, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the Heichal Shalmala, we're in the Heichal Shalmata, we're asking Hashem to receive our supplications from our Heichal and his Heichal. That could only be a period of time that overlaps with Yavan, a period of time in which the carbon of Bnei Yisrael is being brought in the Heichal, and that's the carbon of the Torah Bnei Yonah. That's during Golos Yavan, which overlaps with the Beis HaMikdash. And finally, the last part of that pasuk in Tehillim, Vishavasi Lufanecha Tovo Biaznov, that's a reference to Malchus Edom, to the last Golos, the kingship of Edom that we're existing, we're suffering from even to this very day. And that's, of course, after the period of Churban HaBayis. What's not clear, and we would really have to go through the Mefarshim should we have the time, and the Shalom perhaps will shed a light on this, as we'll soon see, why of all the different dimensions of the Karbonos, the Avodah, the Beis HaMikdash, the one that's focused out, that's singled out and focused on, is the Torah Bnei Yonah. I mean, there were many different Karbonos that were brought. And yet, insofar as we're identifying this period as the period of Yonasi, the period of Yavan, we identify Klal Yisrael and the beauty and the greatness of Klal Yisrael insofar as they brought the Torim Ubnei Yonah and the Mikdash in that period of time. And before we address that question, I'd like to learn with you a different Medrash. This is a Medrash in Tehillim, in Kapitel Yud Gimel, L'manatzeach mizmor l'David, ad ona Hashem tishkacheni netzach. The emphasis here is on the word ona. Ad ona. Here, Klal Yisrael are completely broken up, as David represents them, crying with the deepest and most profound supplication, and they're saying, ad ona. To what extent, until what point, Hashem, tishkacheni netzach, are you, do you forsake me? Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, And God responds to this, in a sense, challenge of Klal Yisrael. L'fi sh'amarti l'chem arba pa'amim ad ana, af atem asidim lomar ad ana arba pa'amim. In other words, Hashem comes with a claim, an argument against Klal Yisrael, with the word ana on four different occasions, four different sins. And as punishment, midah keneged midah, measure for measure, Klal Yisrael on four different occasions will cry out in supplication, Hashem ad ana, how long can I suffer your punishment? Ani amarti, says the Medrash. And here's a pasuk in Shmos. Ad ana mi antem lishmar. And later on in Bamidbar, Ad Ona Yenatsuni. Again in Bamidbar, Ad Ona Lo Yaminubi. And finally, Ad Masaila Eda Ra Zos is again and again Ad Ona, Ad Masai. Up until what point? Hashem is so frustrated with all the sins of Klal Yisrael, the rebellious nature of the people of Israel. Is kach says Hakadosh Baruch Hu, osid limsar eskan biad arba malchios. You will have to be subjugated by the four kingships. Viatem omrim arba ponim ad ana. And the Medrash goes on to mention four different times that Klal Yisrael cry out to Hakadosh Baruch Hu in supplication ad ana, starting with the first pasuk in Tilmud Gimel, ad ana tishkecheni netzach. Ad ona tastiras panecha mimeni, ad ona shis eitzos, ad ona yoruma oivi olai. And these four ad onos, says the Medrash, are allusions to the four Golios. So the first of these four ad onos, ad ona tishkeni netzach, is a reference to Bavel. Ad ona tastir Panecha, the second Ad Ona Tastias Panecha Mimeni, is a reference to Modai, the second of the four Golios. Ad Ona Shis Eitzos is a reference to the third Golos of Yavon. Ad Ona Yorum Oivai is a reference, Oivai Allah, Oivai Allah, Olai is a reference to Edom. So we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about these four Golios as a punishment for the crimes, for the rebellions of Klal Yisrael four times over, Ad Ona. And we see that Klal Yisrael in the Golos is crying out to Hashem. If we take the two Midrashim together, the one that's in the introduction to Megillas Esther with the one that's here in Tehillim, we see certain commonalities. In both cases, we are taking a pasuk or a group of psukim and using and interpreting them as references to four Golios. The number four is critical. There are four major kingships that will subjugate the Jewish people during its long history of exile. What's unique about the Medrash in Megillas Esther is the connection between Golus Yavon and the Beis HaMikdash, and specifically the Karbonos of Torim Ubnei Yonah that are brought on the Mizbech and the Beis HaMikdash during this time of Golus Yavon. What's unique about the Medrash in Tehillim is the fact that the four psukim which allude to the four Golios correspond to four cases in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu lashes out at Klal Yisrael ad ona. And Klal Yisrael responds in the four different historical periods of Golos with ad ona as a midah keneged midah. So Bli Neder will swing back to this in a little bit of time. I first want to learn with you the tour in Aruch Chaim with regard to the first of the two brachos lifnei Kriyat Shema in Arvis. The Torah in Aruch Chaim Reish Lamed Vav writes V'chosemes, and the conclusion should be U'mavdil Bein Yom U'vein Loila Baruch Ato Hashem Hama'ariv Haravim. That's the Nusach Sfarad. Then he writes Nusach Ashkenaz U'mavdil Bein Yom U'vein Loila Hashem Tzvakos Shemo Kel Chai V'Kayom Tamid Yimoch Aleinu Lom Vaed Baruch Ato Hashem Hama'ariv Haravim. And ostensibly, there's a line here that wedges in between the Gufa Shel Bracha, the Matbea of Bracha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu separates between Yom and Laila. That's what's relevant to the Baruch, the Maariv HaRavim Bracha, and an introduction here of a whole nother theme that seems ostensibly to be irrelevant, and that is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Kel Tzvakos, that's his name, he's Kel Chai V'Kayam, and he will reign supreme over us for all eternity. And then, Baruch Ata Hashem, Amarav HaRavim. What's it got to do? It's totally out of place. And we know that with regard to brachos, each bracha gets one unifying theme. Why do we go off on a tangent and introduce, you know, a mechitza here that's chotzeitz, that somehow wedges in between the Gufa Shel Bracha and the Chasimus HaBracha? And the Torah goes on to quote a chiddush of his father. First he says that his brother Rabbeinu Yechiel applauds and prefers the Nusach Sfarad because we need Me'ena Chasima, Samal Chasima. Now it's right before the Chasima, Samal Chasima. We need Me'ena Chasima, something that's relevant to the Chasima. But Liyashiv HaMinog, he adds the tour that Haya Omer Adoni Ovi Arashzal She'anu Mispalalim Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed. That when we declare Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Voed, that is a supplication. We ask Hashem to be the Melech. We know that He's the Melech in concept, in theory, in abstract, but that Malchus should become a reality. V'yikuyam HaPasuk, there will be a fulfillment of the Pasuk. V'haya Li'es Erev Yeah, or, and this pasuk is in Zechariah Hanavi, Perek Yudalid, pasuk Zayit. Let's read the entire pasuk. V'hoye yom echad hu yivod al Hashem lo yom v'lo laila v'hoye leis erev yeah, or. Rashi says that this pasuk is part of the vision of Zechariah Novi, Hayom Yadua Shula Hanas Yisho Shalakodesh Baruch. We're talking about preparing for the ultimate Yeshua of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Lo Yom Velo Laila Lo Or Noga Bior Shal Olam Abba Vior Chama Yeshivasayim. Rashi says that we're referring to the period of Or, which alludes to the period of Oro Shel Olam, which is Olam Haba. When the Pasuk in Yeshayahu describes that Or as Shivasayim Ka'or, V'lo Laila. Now the Pasuk in Zechariah says Lo Laila, Lo Es Tzara. Tzara is always symbolically referred to as Laila, Shibud Golios. V'haya Li Es Erev, Zokt Rashi, Kodem Shiyigmaru Elef Shona Yia Or Hanoga V'chol Hatov HaOmur Al Yisrael. So this is a beautiful, optimistic prophecy of Zechariah Novi, and the Erev here represents a different kind of an Erev, not the Erev of Laila, meaning the Erev of Es Tzara, of Shibud Golios, but on the contrary, the termination of that period of time, the Erev represents a period of clarity, of goodness, of the Achris Hayomim, of the Binyan HaBayis. Zechariah, of course, is the Navi who foretells the Bayis Sheni. And if you take a look in the Radak also, very much along the line of Rashi, V'hoyaleis erev ye'or, it means when the Tzara Gedola of Golus will terminate, She'yetze Bagola, V'nilcham B'goyim Ahem will defeat our enemies, and the Malbim embellishes this when he says, V'hoyaleis erev ye'or, that the physical Shemesh, the Shemesh HaGashmi, will set.
Tiarev v'tishka v'oz yaschil ha'or ha'ikri. Now we have the real or. The or ha'ikri that's not dependent upon the Shemesh. That's the or of Hashem. V'hi melitza nifla she's batel ha'ora v'ashefa yotze me'ez ha'oros v'ashem bi'atzmo u'bechvodo yoyer v'yanhig v'yimshol b'shefa t'midis. An incredible and poetic, dramatic description of the Malbim, of what's going to happen at the end of days, when we're talking no longer about the or of the Shemesh, we're no longer dependent upon that or, but rather we're talking about an or that comes directly from Hashem, Hashem bi'atzma b'chodo yoyir. And his beautiful language, I love it. He says, V'yanhig v'yimshol b'shefat midas bilti mishtana. I mean, that's an incredible light of Hashem. Shelo yechoshech v'tzara klal. All those impacts that come from the world of nature, which unfortunately bring about choshech and tzara, those will all be terminated. They'll all be lifted and removed. We're talking about Rak Or HaTov, HaSholom HaTzlocha, Kei Ratzon, Amen. We should have that very quickly in our time. And now we can begin to appreciate why the Brach of Mariv HaRavim should be understood in a different context, with a different twist to it. And the Erev here is a reference to the Ace Erev Yehor of Zecharia Novi. If that be the case, if we're blessing Hashem here, not only for the physical Erev, but for the Erev that's not physical, that represents the Or of Hashem, then we're talking about the moment of Achris HaYomim, when Hashem Yimloch Liolam Voed. And that's what the Rosh tells his son, the Tur, that the Minag Ashkenaz, to inject this pasuk of Hashem Yimloch Leolam Voed as a tefillah, is directly related to Mariv HaRavim, insofar as this Erev of Mariv HaRavim symbolically represents the Hayal Yeis Erev Ye'or. And he concludes his presentation by saying, V'yoyir lanu, v'avikitzas me'ena chasim v'somach l'chasim. I don't know why he adds the word kitzas, but it certainly is me'ena chasima. It could be that he's bothered by the fact that a tefillah was injected into a birchas hashevach, and that's a little bit of a violation of me'ena chasima. It's not me'ena chasima insofar as it's a tefillah, but the tefillah itself is really a tefillah that's related to Ma'ariv HaRavim, to the shevach. We're already, in a sense, in the chasima, assuming that the samach lachasima and that tefillah has been realized. As we have such faith and reliance on Hashem that yimloch leolam voed, that the R of v'haya eis liyeis erev yehor is going to be fulfilled. We're already, in a sense, blessing Hashem for Ma'ariv HaRavim for bringing out that erev which is R at the achris hayomim. And I want to swing back to Chanukah for a moment and take a look at the Gera Rebbe, the Chassidish Torah of Gera for Chanukah. This is dates back to Tuf Reish Ayin Tes. That's almost a century ago. The Imre Emes says, Isa, it says in the Ma'ariv HaRavim of Nusach Ashkenaz, Kel Chai V'Kayom Tamid Yimolcha Lein Loved, and then Baruch Ato Hashem Ma'ariv HaRavim. And he quotes the Kash of the Tur, and he gives the answer of the Rush. We don't have to repeat this, that it's Me'ena Chasima, because we're referring to a different kind of Ma'ariv HaRavim. And Tamid Yimolch Aleinu Lom Va'ed, says the Imre Emes, is Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. He wants to address a different question. We are praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, supplicating him that he should bring about the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zecharia Novi of Lies Erev Yehor, but why is that relevant to Birchas Kriyat Shema?
You know, Birchas Kriyat Shema meant to embellish Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim of Kriyat Shema. We accept upon ourselves the Malchus Shamayim. And the answer is, when we say, when we declare Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vo'ed, that itself is Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim. A tremendous chiddush. This would also embellish the idea of and fulfill the requirement of Me'ena Chasima Samacha Chasima. In other words, we're talking about the Malchus Shamayim that we're accepting upon ourselves. And this Malchus Shamayim is not only an action that we're doing, you know, we're actually implementing Bekufa Say a Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim, but in a certain sense, we're also bringing about the Mariv Arovim through our Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim on a daily basis. We're bringing the day closer of Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vo'ed, of Ahayel Yis Erev Yiel Or. Is Al Yidei Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim Nie Or Ve'afilu B'Shas HaChoshech. Even though there's golus, we're bringing in a little bit of the R. We're sort of lightening it up. We're bringing the R that's the future R into the choshech that's present. And again, we're almost not only anticipating the R of the future, but we're actually creating a miktas, a little bit of a spark of that R now. And that's a different pasuk, which he quotes here.
A pasuk in Tehillim, Kapitel Kuf Hei, Shlach Choshech V'Yachshech. And the end of that pasuk is V'lo Moru Es Dvoro. Rashi there in Tehillim says V'lo Moru Es Dvoro Hamakos Shetziva Aleim Bo B'mitzvos V'lo Shinu Es Dvoro. Rashi interprets this pasuk as a reference to Makas Choshech, and really to all the Makos. Choshech is just one particular Makah that's a Prat Megala Laklal. That the Makos came about without any merida, so to speak. They didn't rebel against the word of Hashem. But the Imre Emes says that this is a reference to Klal Yisrael during its history. I'm not exactly sure where this medrash is on this pasuk in Tehillim, but be that as it may, here's the medrash that he quotes. He says, Esau al shalo kiblu b'morus dvaro shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu aleihem. That the punishment of Choshech is brought about, of Choshech referring to Golus, have brought about because they did not accept the Morus, the authority of Hashem. They rebelled against the authority of Hashem and the Dvar Hashem. And if that be the case, this is a continuation of what we saw earlier in the Medrash, that the four Golios are really four punishments for the four major sins in which Klal Yisrael Maru Es Divrei Hashem, they rebelled against the will of God. Is therefore the exact opposite of Morus is Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim. And if this Kabbalah's Malchus Shamayim is done, even B'Shas Choshech, even when it's dark out, we say Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Vo'ed as we enter into the Erev which represents Golus, Nasa Or, as we said, Sholach Choshech means that God sends the darkness because of our morus, because we've morad dvaro, but now the opposite takes place, and that is nase or. It becomes light, as we saw in the pasuk Voyeleis Erev Yia Or, which is the or that dispels golus. Ubechol golus who came kishemakablim malchus shamayim nase michoshech or. That's the power of the Jewish people, that dafka when it's choshech, during the golus, and they accept upon themselves Malchus Shamayim, is then the Choshech converts itself to Or, Umiskayim, and then we have fulfillment of the Nevuah of Zechariah Novi, V'hoyel Eis Erev, Yeh Or. So that's the beauty
and the power of Klal Yisrael to bring about during the Golus period a Nasa Or, meaning to bring about the Geula through their Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. So Golus represents a process of Maru Dvar Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu Chas V'Sholem, that they rejected and rebelled the word against the Malchus of Shamayim. And the opposite is when Klal Yisrael tried to rectify those sins by being Makabel Ol Malchus Shamayim, which is reflected in the statement of Hashem Yimloch Li'olam Vo'ed, that prayer, then they convert the Choshech, meaning the Golus, into Or, and that Or is the Or that's predicted for the Achras HaYomim by Zecharia V'Hoyelies Erev Yiyah Or. And what we'd like to swing back now, having understood that Klal Yisrael fell Moru Estvar, but yet they have the potential to come back on high Dafka in the Choshech, speaking about the beauty and the special nature of Klal Yisrael. And we indicated before that the pasuk in Shir HaShirim of Rayasi, the Raya is Klal Yisrael, and Yonasi is Klal Yisrael during the period of Yavan. Let's go back to Shir HaShirim. We'll start from the beginning of Shir HaShirim in Perek Aleph. Hinoch Yofa Rayosi, Hinoch Yofa Einayach Yonim. We're talking about the Raya and her beauty. And the end of this pasuk, the last two words, Einayach Yonim. Again, a reference to the Yonah. And Rashi says, Ki Einayach Yonim Tzadikim Yesh biyad chashedav kubi ki Yona zu, that the Yona is representative, is the symbol of the tzaddikim who cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shahayona, why is it that Yona of all the creatures is the symbol of dveikus in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shemishtak mech Espen Zuga, Eino Minichoso, she is Daveg Liacher. There's a certain close relationship between the Yona and its mate, Ben Zuga, and there's no infidelity here. There's absolute vacus and loyalty. Kach, so too we saw during the history of the Jews in the Midbar, Vayosvu Elov Kol Bnei Levi. You remember that the children of Shevet Levi gathered together during the time of the Egel. They refused to participate in the Egel, and they even stood by Moshe Rabbeinu Mila Shem Eli to destroy and uproot the Avodah Zarah of the Egel, Oto Bi Egel. In a sense, within the context of Klal Yisrael, we can isolate two groups that represent the Yonah, that absolute Dveikus to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like the Yonah to its Ben Zug. Number one is the Shevet Levi, Mila Shem Eli, and number two are the Tzaddikim in all the generations. And we can begin to see why Yonasi might be a reference dafka to the period of time of Golus Yavan, because at the time of Golus Yavan, we have the Tzaddikim, the Bnei Chashmonoi, who come from Shevet Levi, the Mila Shem Eli, who are absolutely dovek, loyal to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I want to go on with this Einayach Yonim and fast forward to the pasuk in Shir HaShirim, Perek Dalid. And there Rashi says on the pasuk Einayach Yonim, Gavanayich umarayich vidugmasayich ki Yona hazos. Everything about Klal Yisrael is indicative, is similar to the Yona. Hadveka b'ben zuga. Again, Rashi reiterates that element of loyalty. Ukshishochtin osa eino mefarcheses elaposhetes tzavora. There's another unique feature in the Yonah, and the Yonah is ready to give itself up to be poshetes tzavra. Kach at nasat Shechem lisbol oli umoroi. You, the people of Israel, were willing to suffer the all, the responsibility to carry that all. It's a very serious weight. We accepted upon ourselves that dedication to Hashem. This is why Klal Yisrael in its glory is compared to the Yonah, number one, because of the dveikus, the loyalty, eina menicha, it doesn't leave its ben zug to follow, to love some other alien. And at the same time, the Yonah and Klal Yisrael, poshetes tzavara, nasat shchem lisbol oli umoroi. And this is a theme that we've seen over and over again in the Ramban, in his commentary on the Torah, that Klal Yisrael are willing to suffer and are willing to accept the responsibility. And of course, sometimes that brings punishment and golus throughout Jewish history, as we know. And the Ramban always quotes that phrase, oh Tzoluv, oh Yehudi. You know, if they give me the choice, I'd rather be Yehudi, even if it means that I have to be Chashom crucified. I'm willing to be Moser Nefesh. That's the Poshetes Tzavar of the Yonah. Rashi repeats himself almost word for word in his commentary on Tehillim Ayin Dalet Einayich Yonim. And the same idea again, the Dveikus of the Yonah to its Ben Zug, and the willingness of the Yonah to be Poshetes Tzavara. And here I want to shed a light on this whole discussion about the Yonah based on the Shalah HaKadosh in Parshas Kisavo. He says, Udmus Yonah mora al dveikusenu bo yisparach. The image of the Yonah with regard to Klal Yisrael is indicative of the dveikus, the clinging of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that dedication and loyalty. Chafetz banu v'anachnu chafetzim bo. He with a capital H loves us, and we in turn love him. V'al sha'anu chafetzim u'medavkim belukuso u'mosrim nafshenu ha'kedushas shmo yisbarach nirmaz liyona. Why does the Yonah become the symbol of Klal Yisrael? Why are we compared to the Yonah? Because of our desire and our dveikus and alokuso, our willingness to give up our life, to sacrifice al kedusha shmo, ki al kei nikraim Yisrael. We are called by the name of the Yonah, and he quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, kanfei Yonah nechpa bekesef, and the Chazal tell us, k'shenizdavgo lebazuga einem izdavegis liacher. We are like the Yonah. We're not willing to join up with any other stranger. We're dedicated to our beloved, to our dod. And Chazal say, "Ayona einim farcheses b'shashchita kach Yisrael mekablin bi'ava kol misos koshos avur kedusha shmo yisbarach." That we are willing, in the context of our ava to the dod, to give up our lives, like the Yonah, ain't a mefarcheses. We don't shake. Mefarcheses means, you know, we move around. We don't move around. We're there to receive the Misa for Kedushas Hashem. And that concept of Shas Hashmad, of the Jewish people who, at pain of death, are willing to sacrifice themselves for Kedushas Hashem, that is specifically related to the period of Yonasi B'Yavon. We are the Yonah at the time of Yavon. Yavon represents Shmad. Yavon is not an enemy that wants to destroy us physically, to annihilate us, as we've seen in other cases of Golios, like in Madai, and also in Edom to a large extent. The Golos of Yavon is typified by Shas HaShmad, their desire to undermine our religion. And we are called upon to give up our lives al kiddush shmo, as the Shalosh says, "Mekablim bi'ava kol misos kashos avur kedusha shmo yisbarach." That makes us the Yonah, and that's why we're constantly compared, whether it's in Shir HaShirim, whether it's in Tillin, whether it's in other places, to the Yonah. We are the Yona Poshetes Tzavara. We are the Yona who are Dveika Ben Zugo. We will not give up our relationship with the Ben Zug. And here I want to quote to you the Ramban in his commentary at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. And he speaks about the choice of Torim and Bnei Yona for the Karbanos. He says, Aval Rata Bitorim Hagdolim Ba'avur Prishusam V'idovkam Biyadua Mehem. In the case of the Torim, they're a little bit more mature, they're a little bit older, and at that point they develop the characteristic, the attribute of Prishusam V'idovkam Biyadua Mehem. They separate themselves from the others, and they are dovek in their beloved. There's a certain level of loyalty, of dedication. The kevan sha'oved ben zugo, and if, let's say, the ben zug goes flying away, lo yidovek bi'achar li'olam. They never actually pick up another partner. They are totally dedicated to, for the entire span of their lifetime, to one partner, one partner only. V'chein Yisrael. Such a beautiful Ramban. Dvukim b'Hashem Elokeichem v'lo yidavku b'el acher li'olam. And even in periods of time in which the Jews feel alienated, they feel like HaKadosh Baruch Hu left them behind. They are all alone. Nevertheless, they will not join forces with any other Elohim acherim. Lo yidavku l'el acher li'olam. They are, for the rest of their lifetime, they are always exclusively dedicated and dovek b'Hashem. Just like the Torim Bnei Yona. And he goes on to quote a Chazal, V'izkiru Rabboseinu ki chola ofos im yagia adam beken, im yiga adam beken shalem lakachas misham efrochim obeitzim. In the case of all other birds, if man comes to put his hand into the nest to take the little fledgling birds or the eggs, yazvu, the mother bird will fly for her life to protect herself. Lo yikananu bo liolam, but hayona lo tazvenu bishum inyo. The yona never leaves its flock behind. V'ken Yisrael lo yachlifu boram v'toraso liolam. Ela o Yehudi otzoluv, the Ramban that we made reference to earlier. We're willing to give up our lives, al kiddush Hashem. That's why we are compared to the yona. And that's why when we bring the Yona as a karbon, we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remember that in Shas HaShmad, we are like the Yona. The Yona really represents us. We are totally dedicated to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, exclusive. We will never go with any other El Acher. We're only yours. The Dod and the Raya have this incredible relationship, love relationship that will never be broken. And if we swing back to the Ibn Ezra that we began with, in which in his Pizmon for Chanukah he describes us as Torim Bnei Yona, what he's referring to, no doubt, is the Shas HaShmad of the Golos Yavon. We are Yonasi B'Yavon. We are the Bnei Yonim. We are dedicated to you despite the Shmad of the Yavonim. We will never capitulate. We will always be willing, like the Tzadikim and the Bnei Shevet Levi, Milashem Eli, to be at the forefront of dedication to save you, to declare your Malchus on us. We have a Kabbal O Malchus Shmaim, despite the Choshech of Golos Yavon, is therefore Yonasi B'Yavon, and therefore the Ibn Ezra so beautifully describes the days of Chanukah and associates them with Torim B'nei Yonah, that specific karbon. And that's why, as we saw in the Akdama to Megillas Esther, the Medrash points out that during the time of Yavon, Kol Yimei Yavon Ayah Beis HaMikdash Kavah Yisrael Makrivim Bo Torim U'B'nei Yonim. Why emphasize and isolate of all the different aspects of the Avodah Beis HaMikdash, the Hakrav of Torim and Bnei Yonim, the Torim Gedolim, which the Ramban says are unique in their Prishus, in their Dveikus, Biyadua Lahem, in their beloved, in their partner? That's the greatness of Klal Yisrael, the love of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu during the period of Yavon. And we here in Yerushalayim lost very recently, just a month ago, Torim Bnei Yona, that were brought al Kiddush Hashem, that were taken away from us in the prime moment of their dedication to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because they, in their love for you, were totally and exclusively dedicated to your dveikus. These are the tzaddikim that were taken away. Let's take a look at one more piece, and then perhaps we can swing back to some of the halachic dimensions of Ner Chanukah that we mentioned earlier. The Gemara in Gittin, in Perek HaNizokim, in the sugya of Churban, the Agadita of Kamtza Bar Kamtza, discusses the pasuk Olecha Horagnu Kol Hayom Nechshavnu Kitzon Tivcha. And of course, this pasuk, which refers to Kiddush Hashem, is specifically related by Chazal in the Gemara in Gittin to Chana V'Sheva Baneo, to the period of time of Golus Yavon. From Yehuda Omer, Zu Isha V'Sheva Baneo.
So the pasuk Olecha Horagnu Kol Hayom is a pasuk in Tilim, and the Gemara tells the following story. This woman had seven sons. Asu Lakama, they brought the first of the seven, Lakami the Kesar, in the presence of the Kesar. Amru Le, and they said to him, Plach Lavodis Kachavim, worship an idol. He has Plach Lavodis Zorai, Plach Lavodis Kachavim. Amru Lehu, he responded to the Kesar, Kosev B'Torah, the Torah says, in Shmos, Soveach, the Pasuk says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Afku Avakatlua, and they put him to death. Asiu Le'idach Kameh the Kesar, they brought the next one. Omulei plak lavodes kochavim omulehu kosabatori, quotes a pasuk again in Shmos, lo yelech alehim achir malponai afku v'katlu, and they killed him too. Asiuli idach, they brought the third one on parol worship avodes omulehu kosabatori, pasuk in Shmos chav beis, so veach lelohim yechram afku v'katlu, he too was sent out to death. Asiuli idach omulei plak lavodes komulo kosabatori, pasuk in Shmos lamidalid lo seshach veleel Acher afku v'katlu asiuli idach amlu plach lavodes kamlu. He quotes the pasuk in Dvarim Vav Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad afku v'katlu asiuli idach amlu plach lavodes kamlu k'siv b'Torah v'yadata yom shosilvech ki Hashem hu Elokim b'shamayim imal v'al haoretz mitochas ein od afku v'katlu asiuli idach amlu plach lavodes kamlu k'chosu b'Torah Dvarim Chavav es Hashem hemarta v'Hashem hemircha hayom. Es Hashem emarta, v'Hashem emircha hayom. Kvar nishbanu l'Kadosh Baruch Hu she'einonu ma'avirin oso bi'el acher. We've already taken an oath, committing ourselves not to give up our one God for the sake of any other God. V'afhu nishbalonu, and he too promised us she'ein ma'avir osonu bi'uma cheres, and he too will be loyal to us. The loyalty is twofold, it's reciprocal, and it goes in both directions. The next part of the Gemara is interesting because she gave up her seven sons, and then she cries out that my schar, my mesiras nefesh, surpasses even that of Avram Avinu, because Avram Avinu on the Akedah took one son, I gave on the Akedah seven Mizbechos. And this is after she kisses her last son goodbye before he's taken out to be destroyed. She herself dies, but the Pasuk says that the Baskel comes out and quotes the Pasuk in Tilim Eima Bonim Smecha. In any event, I wanted to point out to you that the Kesar in this Gemara and its historical context is not Mefurish, it's not Lehedja, but if you take a look at Rav Yaakov Emden in his Hagos, he writes that this Maisa took place. The language of Rav Yaakov Emden is Maisa ze ira bifnei Antiochus. So the case of the Caesar that we're talking about is Antiochus, and we're talking about the period of the Greeks. We're talking about the period of Hanukkah. If this be the case, you know, we can tie up all the strings here, you know, tie up all the strands, because we're talking about Klal Yisrael accepting upon themselves Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim during a period of Choshech. We're talking about bringing about the fulfillment of, through this Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, injecting light into the Choshech Vahaya Li'eis Erev Ye'or, the Pasuk in Zechariah. We're tying this up with the role, the unique role of women of Klal Yisrael being willing to be Moser Nefesh, and the fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, according to the Rashbam, when he speaks about Afein Hoyu Boso Nes, that Bischus Noshim Tzidkonios, it's the miracle of Chanukah that came about through the Noshim. It's Afein Hoyu because they generated the Nes. Women are part of Chanukah because of their unique role in bringing about the Nes of Chanukah. And here we see it explicitly in this Isha Achas at the time of Antiochus and the Mesiris Nefesh of the Isha. And that swings us back to the fact that the women took the initiative in Ner Chanukah of doing something that the men didn't even do, and that is they took upon themselves an Iser Malacha, which may, according to the Mishnah Berurah, be extended to the men, but that's because the women want to be focused totally on the miracle of Chanukah and the Pirsum HaNes. They cherish that miracle. They brought about that miracle. They are at the forefront of Mesiris Nefesh. And therefore, if we swing back to the introduction of the Medrash to Megillas Esther, in which the Pasuk Yonasi is a reference to Yavon, our nation is the nation of Yonah. We are like the Bnei Torim, says the Ramban. The carbon that we bring that symbolizes Klal Yisrael, because the Bnei Torim represent the Precious and the Dveikus. We will not accept any other god. We will be totally loyal and Davik HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even at the expense of O Yehudi, O Tzoluv. This period of Golus Yavon is the period of Shmad, the first Shmad in the history of Klal Yisrael. They wanted to undermine our religion, and they wanted to get us to worship idols. We were unwilling to do so. We are the Bnei Yonim. We are the dedicated ones. Yonasi Samasi. We are in the image of the Yonah. This is Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch, we ask you to love Klal Yisrael the way the Dod loves the Yonah. In Shir HaShir Meinayach Yonim, Klal Yisrael, we are the ones who are the Shomrim for you, HaKadosh Baruch, on this world. We protect and preserve your name in this world. We declare even during the Choshech, Hashem Yimloch Liolam Voed. And therefore we ask you to bring about the Or of Hashem, as the Malvim said in that Pasuk in Zechariah, the Or that's direct from Hashem, even during this Erev, when we light the Ner Chanukah, our Kavod in the Ner Chanukah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you love us, we love you, and in the context of that Dod Raya relationship, bring about the revelation of your Or, the Argadol of Mashiach Tzidkenu, of the Achris Hayomim, the clarity of light and the compassion of a dode for its raya. Bring that about. Bimheirav Yomenu. Amen.